Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Gary Martin is the Washington, D.C. correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Sam Kumar, Eric Herzig, and Andy McKay. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome to the program for the first time veteran news correspondent Gary Martin. He is the Washington, D.C. correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you very much, Sam.
What a week last week was. You said before we started this taping, most consequential week you've seen.
It was the most consequential week in Congress so far in the 115th. You had a lot, and we'll get to the Senate quickly, but you had a House that didn't bring a budget bill that's going to be necessary. They didn't bring that to the floor. That's going to be necessary for tax reform. You saw a White House just totally explode and throw out a chief of staff and hire a new chief of staff by the end of the week. They're in just total turmoil there. And then we saw what happened when the Senate, with all week of trying to get through some kind of a repeal bill on Obamacare and all the fallout that went with that and a vote that happened at 2 o'clock in the morning on Friday, with McCain casting the final decisive vote that just killed the bill.
And it's interesting with John McCain, you know, always with the maverick reputation. I thought his speech on the floor when he returned to the Senate was quite remarkable, but it didn't seem to make any difference in terms of bipartisanship at that vote.
No, and you know what? There was a news conference on Capitol Hill about 5 o'clock on Thursday, and it was he and Lindsey Graham and Ron Johnson, and they got up there and they basically said that they were worried about the skinny bill, and that they were worried that it was going to go to the House if it was approved, and that the House would conference the bill, but that if the Senate didn't pass the conference bill, that they'd go ahead and just ship it right straight to the president. So Lindsey Graham was the most forceful, and he was saying he was working on a bill with Heller and with, there was a third lawmaker there as well. Oh, Cassidy from Louisiana, over the Medicaid exchanges and the Medicaid portions. And so they were really worried that they wanted to see their amendment get scored by the CBO and see if theirs could get through as an amendment. So I thought Lindsey Graham was going to be the one that took a walk. But in the end, you know, and McCain said at that press conference that he wasn't going to vote for the bill as is. And so when it came up, I guess it was no surprise, except for everybody, including the Republicans, that, you know, he had taken a walk.
Well, it was interesting to watch Meet the Press on Sunday with Tom Price, who just seemed to, first of all, he never answers an actual question. He just comes up with whatever the White House line is. But he seemed to have no idea that healthcare is dead.
Yeah, and, you know, Mulvaney's saying now that they still want the Senate to go back and do it. You had Lamar Alexander on Friday say, look, we're going to start hearings. Susan Collins wants a bipartisan approach. Lamar Alexander, who's got the health committee, he wants a bipartisan approach. And it looks like the only way it moves forward in the Senate, if they do take some kind of approach like that. The problem McConnell has is that you've got a lot of things stacking up, and here's where it really here's where the rubber hits the road. The House just passed this big spending bill last week. Well, it's not going to get through the Senate because they don't want the wall and they don't want the big defense increases without domestic spending boosts. So they're not even going to they're going to play hardball on all the nominations. So this thing is just the Senate is just tied up in a knot. And what really doesn't help anything is that the White House is dysfunctional and it can't really get its message straight. And quite frankly, I think I don't think they really estimated what was going on. I think the first vote they thought they were going to get to, and it fell short. So it's the Senate's just stuck. Wait, and I don't know if they can do it before they, you know, we run out of money at the end of September, and if they don't raise the debt ceiling, dang, we could have a government shutdown.
Well, it's interesting to see, you know, obviously there are certain things that the Congress has to accomplish in terms, as you mentioned, in terms of budget, things like that, and debt ceilings, et cetera. But the big ticket items that the president ran on and would like to get done, the time is just slipping away. We're already well into the 2018 election cycle, and the members of Congress and the Senate are more concerned about their reelection than accomplishing Donald Trump's dreams.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, tax reform was another one, and that thing is going to have a tough time. Democrats have already told Republican leadership, we're not going to raise the debt ceiling if you're going to use that to provide big tax breaks on corporations and wealthy Americans. Another thing was that Obamacare repeal in the original Senate bill had some pretty hefty tax breaks for wealthier Americans. So those things all got stopped dead. And yeah, you're right, exactly. You know, this thing is coming to a screeching halt unless they can find a way forward.
And I thought it was interesting to see the threats made to Lisa Murkowski. I think they picked the wrong person to threaten.
You know, if you go back and look at her history, you know, she got beat in a primary before the Republican Party kind of abandoned her in that, and she came back and clawing back
as an independent, a writing candidate,
GOP help to win her Senate seat back. So yeah, she's been down the road once before. I saw something over the weekend that was pretty interesting too about how at one point Daschle had talked to John McCain about, you know, becoming an independent. Actually, it was right after the 2000 election, after he got beat by Bush in the primary for the presidential nomination. And, you know, there was a speculation about whether he would do that again. I think it was in Politico magazine. But, you know, there's questions about whether that would happen or not. But, you know, McCain said he's going back for 2 weeks after this last vote on Friday. He's going back to recuperate. So they're without a vote for the next 2 weeks, even if McConnell wants to keep him in. And there's a lot of questions about whether McConnell will keep him in here working still.
All right.
With the state of play.
All right, let's take a break. More with Gary Martin. He's a little excited about what's going on in Washington. We'll be right back.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Gary Martin. He's the Washington, D.C. correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Bipartisanship is a word that's been popping up since the failure of getting something through to repeal and replace Obamacare. And Senator Reid on this program a couple of years ago said that they knew that things needed to be fixed, and it was just that the Republicans were not coming to the table to discuss them. Do you get the sense that we are now at a point where bipartisanship is actually going to occur?
Oh, I think it's more likely in the Senate than it is in the House. In the House, you have these tight little districts that redistricting has made it, so you have packed districts, and you have a situation where you have solid Republican districts and solid Democratic districts and not so many competitive districts around the country anymore. So they can it tends to be more partisan in the House. The Senate, you have 100 lawmakers who have broader, but with the thin majority you have in the Senate, 50-48, it's hard to get to the 60 threshold on most legislation. This was being the Senate health bill was done under reconciliation rules, so they only needed to get a simple majority, and we're unable to do that. So I think there's more pressure for bipartisanship in the Senate for sure to move legislation through.
Dean Heller, as you well know, is being reported all over the country as being the most in danger of losing his seat. But it seems like his own actions are not helping himself. Especially with the press conference with Brian Sandoval back here in Nevada, where he agreed with the governor on the whole Medicaid situation. What is the talk in D.C. about Dean Heller? Because it seems to me that Democrats are not going to vote for him anyway. The Republican base is mad at him for some of the positions he's taken. And so he's really got to get the independents and a lot of Washoe County to make a difference here. What are you hearing?
Well, he's definitely being watched the closest. Of all the moderates that were voting against the bill over the past week, the only one that was up for re-election in 2018 is Dean Heller, and he walked the plank on Friday morning. I mean, he walked out there and took a vote for the skinny bill. So I think he's been a focus of a lot of attention. Where would he fall? Where is he going to be on these votes? And yes, you're right. He was against the Senate bill but voted to move it forward on the motion to proceed, but then came back and voted for the skinny bill repeal. So yeah, he's taken some votes that are going to be pretty tough. I mean, he's on all over the map if you look at the votes. Big question is like I had a political pundit tell me is like, it might not even matter how he votes because the president's ratings in Nevada are so low anyway that if it comes around and it stays, and we're still talking 18 months down the road, the president could hurt him just as badly as these votes. But the big question is, does he get primaried? And does the Democratic, Jackie Rosen's already out saying she's going to run against him, as a Democrat. We still have Titus kind of watching, and there's still not anything definitive from her yet. I think she was watching this vote pretty close, too. I think it was a real defining week for Dean Heller and what's going to happen to him in the future.
Have you seen anybody on the Republican side coming to D.C., having conversations, looking for money potentially to primary Dean Heller?
I have not. I have not heard that. The only name I've heard is a Tarkanian. Is Tarkanian's name, but
yeah, Danny Tarkanian.
Mostly in the context that it would be a rematch against Rosen.
Yes, well, I think it would be an interesting fight between Danny and Dean. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a ton of money, and I get the sense that no matter how much money the candidates raise, they're going to be outspent by the third party money coming into Nevada.
I agree with that 100%. I mean, the last quarter, Dean Heller showed $1.4 million raised. And the quarter before that, it was $1.4 million. Jackie's got some money, but she had just got in. So, but I think you're right. And I think if you look back on the 2016 race, oh, I think that the third-party money is going to eclipse it all. I mean, everybody's looking at Dean Heller's seat. I mean, the Democrats see this as the one seat they can grab. You've got a state that's trending, that the growth is in the Democratic portions, lower Nevada, Las Vegas area. You know, the Democrats actually have more vulnerable seats, Manchin, McCaskill, some of those, than the Democrats do. The only two vulnerable Republicans seem to be Heller and Flake, but everybody sees Dean Heller as the most vulnerable.
Just a quick answer on this. We've got less than 30 seconds here. Harry Reid seems to have pretty much as much influence over the Nevada delegation, or at least a good portion of it, than he did when he was the minority or majority leader. Is that the case from where you see it in D.C.?
You know, I haven't seen that. But I'm relatively new to Nevada, so I haven't seen that. I've seen it. He's been pretty. I've heard about the Senate race, but I haven't heard much about him in the Yucca fight. So I'm not really sure if I could answer that. You know, I think you would know better than I would, Sam.
Okay, we're gonna have to talk off the air on that one. Hey, listen, thank you so much for doing this, Gary. You're a great guest, and we'd love to have you back.
Thank you so much.
All right, man, and we'll be right back after this timeout.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Andy McKay is here. He's the director, executive director of the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association. Eric Herzig is a political science professor at UNR. And Sam Kumar is the past chairman of the Washoe County Republicans. So we were talking earlier in the program with Gary Martin of the Las Vegas Review-Journal based in D.C., and he said Dean Heller walked the plank last week on health care. And that is the talk in the Capitol, is that he is the most vulnerable senator. What can he do at this point to reclaim the ground?
Good question. I think Dean's problem started quite a while back. And you look at Mark Amadei and look at Dean Heller. Mark has connected with the people exceptionally well. He has some great skills. He has great sense of humor. Not everyone is going to have that. But when Dean went from the House to the Senate, it made things worse because your election cycle is once every 6 years. So I would say it's a long road from here. A lot depends on turnout and the type of turnout in 2018. We are too far away from that now. But definitely is behind the eight ball. I think that's fair to say.
You know, when Dean Heller ran against Sharon Angle for CD2, he became the most conservative version of Dean Heller we'd ever seen. Now, when people write about him nationally, they tend to describe him as a moderate. What are your thoughts on that, Eric?
Well,
and what that means for his reelection, because he needs to be conservative for the base.
Well, he needs to be conservative for part of the base, but he can't be the same conservative that he was in CD2. That's not going to work statewide unless turnout is incredibly low. I mean, that's going to be his, in a sense, hope in 2018. Amade made a comment that Heller, I must have missed. It's like Heller's trying to find what Amade called the sweet spot on healthcare reform, and that's almost an impossible thing to find. And so he came out and said, I can't back this. And everybody kind of, the conservatives walked away from him and others embraced him. But it was like, that was just like the opening move in this journey. And then he ended up basically, okay, I'll vote for skinny repeal. And I don't think he made anybody happy. And so that's, I think, it's going to hurt him. And with Sam, I don't know how he recovers from that necessarily. Although I don't think he's a dead man walking, as they say, for the upcoming race.
And one of the things to consider, Andy, is that, you know, no matter how much the two candidates, who they eventually are in this race, the amount of money they raise is going to be dwarfed by the amount of third-party money that comes in that could essentially control the message.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I was at an event a couple months back, and Senator Heller mentioned specifically that, in terms of the amount of outside money that's going to go in that race.
I heard a number of $125 million for everybody, all the money in there.
That pretty much adds up, because the thought was it was going to be roughly 60 and 60, so you add them together, you're at 120. An atrocious amount of money, whatever it's going to
be. Hold your tongue, sir. That money comes through programs like this.
That's true. Very true. But I think what these two gentlemen have stated is absolutely right. If the election were held today, his goose is cooked. It's an eternity until the next election. And quite frankly, it's no secret that this is going to be trying to characterize Congresswoman Rosen as Harry Reid. And that's what this message is going to be about. It's not secret. You'll have some ACA stuff bubble up, maybe some tax stuff, regulatory, whatever it is. But they're going to try to paint her as Harry Reid, except in a dress. And I think just that alone, Senator Heller has a chance to be reelected.
Well, and it's interesting, too, as you look at the map, Clark County, Democratic, the rurals, Republican. Washoe County is the swing county in the swing state. You know, how goes it for Washoe County?
You know, it's turnout. You know, that if you have a turnout like, you know, what happened in the midterms 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever the time frame is, he's going to win. If that doesn't arise up, we're talking close. It's going to be tantamount to 1998 between Ensign and Reid, 400 votes, 420 votes, whatever that number was.
Sam?
I think one of the things that happened, and that hasn't been discussed much, with the failure of the repeal of Obamacare, it has energized the Republicans. Is that sufficient enough to overcome the energy from the Democratic side? That remains to be seen. I think the momentum at least has shifted to some extent.
Eric?
I would somewhat agree with that. It energized the most conservative part of the Republican Party. And is that enough? I don't know. I agree about the turnout issue. If it's like 2014, Heller cruises. If it's like 2016, it's a very close race. And the Democrats have not proven an ability to turn out at midterms and without a star at the top of the ticket. And I don't see where this is necessarily going. Heller's not, his goose isn't cooked yet, as you said, but by the same token, he's got to be nervous.
And that's where we have to leave it. Gentlemen, thank you very much. And we're going to hold you over for tomorrow's show, so we'll see you then. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
On our next broadcast, Michael Cadenassi, he's the chairman of the Washoe County Republicans, got a big job ahead of him.